Hello and welcome to another brand spanking new episode of the Listening Party Podcast, a conversational music podcast where every episode is a different theme. New episodes are released the first Monday of the month. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Denise.
Hi.
And joining us this week, all the way from the east side of Los Angeles, we have Caesar. Woo!
Woo!
Round of applause. Hello, Caesar. How's it going?
Hi, guys. It's going good. Thank you.
Nice. Thanks for having me. Yeah, for sure. Thank you for taking time out of your day. You were just mentioning to us that if were you not here, you'd be at band practice right now.
Yeah, I'm just practicing on my own, so it's fine.
Nice. Thank you. We appreciate you taking time to drive all the way out here and doing this. If you guys listen to Denise's other podcast, the 110 podcast, you might have heard of Caesar's band, Eastside Agents. They were featured in episode 21, which had the absolute banger of a ska tune, I Don't Know Why. Go check that out. There will be a link in the show notes.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's a banger. And fun fact, that episode was released November 25th of last year, so almost a year to the date.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
Yeah, crazy.
That's crazy.
Especially like Denise, if you look back on when you were recording that episode, could you have imagined that a year from that day you would have Caesar here in the studio?
No, because did we bring back the LPP? Was the LPP already back?
Yeah, we've been September. Back for like a year, yeah.
Well, yeah. But at that time, like, we were just having friends, like, we were easing into it. And then we're like, all right, are we bringing back, like, musicians now? Because we used to do that back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, another fun fact. Oh, you don't have it down there?
No.
Caesar's besties with Pauly C.
Pauly C, that's right.
You guys went to high school. You guys like went to high school together.
Yeah, we went to high school. We went to middle school. So, you know, we were in band.
Oh, wow.
I've known Paul
since. Oh, damn, all the way from middle school?
Since middle school, yeah. So, we were in band together.
Oh, shit.
You know, did a lot of stuff. Did a lot of cool band traveling stuff and performing and stuff like that.
Oh, so. Nice.
Oh, damn.
I didn't know that either. He just said you guys went to high school. I thought he said high school. Maybe he just said school.
I'm sure he didn't go in the depth of the friendship and all that. But, yeah. I've known Paul for quite a while.
Yeah, we haven't seen Paul in a while. Like, just like a hang with Paul.
Well, I saw him. He came to my performance at the FMC.
Yeah, but that's not like a hang.
I mean, we talked a little bit.
Okay.
Whatever. It's cool.
All right.
He brought the Stouty.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I didn't go to that one. I missed it.
Yeah, I was
at work. Sorry, some of us have to earn a living.
Boo, work.
Whatever. Dude, that was a bad, like, traffic day. Like, I barely got there on time. But anyways.
Okay. Anyways, it's not about you today, Denise. Sorry. It's about Caesar.
But I don't know. I just thought that was a fun fact. And I feel like
that's how
the Eastside Agents, like, got into my algorithm. Because I was like, how did I find this band?
Yeah, I remember you were talking about that, like, how it came to be.
Yeah, like afterwards, like Paul was like, oh, like I know them. And I was like, what the hell? Like, I didn't even know that. Like, yeah.
Yeah. But if you had said, oh, yeah, like I'm into Pearl Jam, like the first person I'm always going to think of when I hear Pearl Jam is Paul, it's always going to be Paul.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, so you said, oh, yeah. I'd be like, I wouldn't ask, but I would think in my head, oh, like, you know, they might know Paul or something. You know,
you think all the Pearl Jam fans know each other.
I'll be honest with you. I don't have like a lot of friends that are like super into Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
And like the one other friend that I know that is into Pearl Jam, I know she doesn't know Paul. I don't even have to ask her, you know, because she's like from like the South Bay and all that.
Oh, okay. Well, you never know. She might know Paul.
I mean, I feel like all the Pearl Jam people
I don't think she was around when Paul was totally in the Pearl Jam.
I mean, he's still in it.
Chats.
Oh, like the message boards
and boards, you know, message boards and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But yeah, so that's pretty cool. I guess we'll just get into the theme.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll get to know you more as the episode goes on. As I mentioned in the intro, every episode is a different theme. So, Caesar, would you like to let all the folks out there know what theme you chose and why you chose it?
Sure. My theme was songs you heard growing up in the house. Just because I don't want to go into like the song or the artist that I chose, but it's definitely weird. but it just puts where my parents were at that moment in time in those years when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
Because my parents were, like, I think my dad was like 30 and my mom was like 29 when I was born. I was born in 81. So, you know, there was a lot going on, like, you know, from still the 70s and, you know, like the early 80s and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's like a lot of music being played in the house that, like, I'm surprised that I recognize it or I'm a fan of now, or I've been a fan of, you know, but it makes sense because that's the stuff like my dad was listening to.
I recently saw some meme online or something where It was this clip. It was like some kid and there was like old Spanish music playing and it's like, oh, when you were little, and you're like, oh, turn it off. And then now that you're old, you're like, yeah, I fucking love this song.
Definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, there is. Last month, we introduced this new format where we sandwich the guests right in between. So Denise and I take turns going first, and I think I went first last month. So Denise, you can go first. Not you can, but you just go
first. I'm going first. So if you don't know, like if you're not a longtime listener, like I hate the Beatles because my dad...
Because you're a hater.
Blared the Beatles when I was younger and I was trying to sleep in. I love to sleep, all right? And his day off was on Sunday. And so he had to do all the yard work, you know, on Sunday, like super like 7 o'clock in the morning, blaring the Beatles. So I just hate the Beatles. I mean, he played other stuff. Like he played what you're going to play later. Like, I love that band. He played a lot of Motown.
Okay.
And my mom didn't get the radio a lot. But when she did, like she'd play, Fleetwood Mac and Rod Stewart. And then some of the Spanish stuff, you know, that like my grandma would play and stuff. I feel like I could have gone with what my grandma played or my grandpa played, but no. Like his second favorite after the Beatles, also like the Beach Boys too, was Motown. This song, like I loved this song growing up. I thought it was really funny. If you think about it, like me and my love for like Weird Al and Tenacious D and like Jimmy Fallon and like his music stuff and my music, like I just like love novelty funny songs. I thought this was a funny song. We're just gonna play Jimmy Soul's Happy. I think it's called just Happy, right?
If you wanna be happy.
Oh, if you wanna be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love this song. So I don't know if this was like Motown or whatever, but like soul, like all that, like my dad loved like the Four Tops and this was in that and like Earth, Wind and Fire and all that. I played it like midway, I guess, because I'll talk about that later. But I wanted you to hear that little breakdown where he's like, hey, man, I saw your wife the other day and she ugly. Anyways, that was my favorite part. But even as I was little, I was like, that's messed up. But I just thought it was so funny. But like 5-year-old me, like singing along to this song, like laughing. So I don't know. What'd you think of my song?
That was definitely unique. But I could see like how that would even get my attention as a kid, just because it's not like a traditional structured song. There's a lot of I don't even want to say like background noise, but yeah, like, you know, yeah. There's back and forth between, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I saw your wife, you know, she's really, you know, it's like, yeah, but she can cook, you know? So it's supposed to be, yeah. Like, I guess like almost,
like a call and response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that. But that adds to it, because then if not, it's just like, you know, then it is just a normal structured song.
Yeah.
And it's pretty repetitive too.
Yeah. Like, but if it's catchy though. But it's
really catchy. It is catchy. Yeah. So the first time I ever heard this song was in 7th grade. And I don't even know why, but like our teacher, for whatever reason, was... I honestly don't even know why. But he played the song for us in class. And I think he was just trying to teach us all a lesson or something.
Like, what lesson?
Like...
Looks don't matter?
Like, looks don't matter. Yeah. Like, looks don't matter. It's what's on the inside that counts.
Wow, talk about
cook
it.
Or he can cook.
Oh, whatever. and if they can cook, for sure. Yeah. And then I didn't know this, but in preparation for the episode, I was doing some, you know, show notes and all that. And apparently this is kind of like it's based on an older song called Ugly Woman by a calypso band from Trinidad, Roaring Lion. The original was recorded way back in like 1934. And you can actually find it like on YouTube or something. So it's pretty similar. Like some of the lyrics are a little bit different. Makes it kind of funnier in some instances. I didn't know that. Damn, I didn't even know that. There you go, Denise. Learn something
new. I did a cover / like response song to this, like from like a straight woman's perspective, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was funny because I love this song. And there's this mic that I go to that's at a church or whatever. I'm not religious, but it's at whatever. It's in a courtyard and I go because I like the hosts and stuff. It's a chill mic. I played it there and I played it at the Fullerton mic and like it killed, dude. Like I just thought it was because, you know, I'm always playing funny songs. So yeah. I was like, I'm going to play this one. I had to like beg Rod to like do the response. I was like, okay, when I get to this part, I was like, I was like, hey, Deeper, I saw your man the other day. And he ugly. And then like, but it, man, everyone laughed. Like,
right. It went with the song that they were hearing.
Yeah. Like right. Everyone like turned and they were like, what the hell? Like, cause it's an old song. So I don't know. Like if young people are there, they're not going to know this song, but I feel like at the church one, there's a lot of older dudes there. So I feel like they'd probably heard it, but yeah, like I love this song and, yeah, I think it's a good lesson. I mean, I speak from experience. No, just kidding.
Hilarious. Well, I don't know how to cook, so you know how
That's
to cook.
True,
so.
But you clean, so thanks, babe.
Anyways. All right. Well, thank you, Denise. That was a banger for sure. Caesar, I had a quick... Well, we have a series of questions to sprinkle out throughout the episode.
Shoot.
How long have you been playing music?
Since I was a kid. My mom actually wanted... Or my parents wanted my brother to take piano lessons. And so, of course, like I wasn't going to be left alone at home. So I had to go along. And yeah, he was learning. And then like I kind of just... Like the lady that was teaching my brother, she was just like an older... You know, grandma. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so like I don't know, I honestly don't remember like asking, hey, like I want to play too. It was just like the next time she's like, oh, come here and sit down, and I started learning, you know, like notes on the fingerboard and everything. And so I kind of just like that's where it started. And then in middle school all my friends were in band.
You guys had band in middle school?
Yeah
that's crazy.
We have band in middle school.
Well, because like, here, once I got here to the US of A, I went to a Catholic school and they didn't have shit in Catholic school.
Well, yeah, they don't have shit. It's public school, dude. Yeah. You don't have band in freaking.
Yeah, we didn't have anything.
No. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Sorry.
But anyway, so you guys had band.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
so
dope as
hell. All my friends were in the music program and I was the only one that wasn't. So I'm like, well, you know, I got to be a sheep, you know,
peer pressure. Peer pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did that and then I thought it would have been it.
Wait, sorry. What did you play? What did you play in band?
Trumpet. So I still play trumpet.
Oh, nice.
I went from playing trumpet until when I got into high school. That's why I picked up guitar.
Oh, okay.
I just figured, oh, it'll end like in middle school because I didn't know what high school was gonna be like or you know what to expect or anything.
Like,
I was expecting
banging
to get my ass kicked, you know, because you know
you're in band.
Yeah,
not even because I was in band. It's because you know I was gonna be again at the bottom of the pole.
Oh, right.
You know, so and then like I think the music instructor came and was like, oh yeah, you know, like this is the music program. You know, if you guys want to continue, you know, you're more than welcome or whatever. And so we all looked at each other and we're like, yeah, dude, let's just do it. Like, you know, we got to go to Disneyland, you know, for free,
oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So
that's
of course,
like
why
the
not?
Perk. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like I didn't even know about that. I was like, what? Like I get to miss like, I don't have to go do PE. I don't have to like,
or
I get to be excused because I got to go to a perform at an assembly like three times.
What the hell?
I'm there.
Yeah. And then you go to other schools like to perform too.
There's like competitions. Yeah. It's like super competitive.
Yeah. Like if you're in a good program, like you skip a lot of school to go to that stuff.
What the hell? Dude, in high school, we didn't have shit.
Because you went to
sports.
A Catholic school? Shit. Like Catholic schools are shit, dude.
In high school, we had sports. And it was like, if you're not into sports, then you ain't doing shit. Because there's no theater, there's no music, there's no arts.
Wait, you didn't even have choir?
We didn't have choir.
Oh, damn.
We didn't have anything.
I mean, at least we had choir.
That's insane to me. Oh, my God. I feel like I missed out on my life.
There was a lot of extracurriculars.
Wow.
I mean, you could have gone to public school. You should have gone to public school.
I should have. It would have been free. Anyway, sorry. So, yeah. So, you were like in everything.
Yeah, since I was pretty young.
Even in high school, you were still trumpet?
Yeah, I still did that. And like I said, like, I picked up the guitar along the way and it just kind of like stuck. My brother, he started playing drums because he saw like the high school drum line perform one time, and he's like, oh, that's what I want to do.
Oh, that's so dope. Cool.
And then like actually like my brother was in jazz band for a little bit, so like he's that much cooler than me because he did that. And that's just my personal opinion because I saw him perform once because he played drum set, you know, so that's already like cool, you're playing drum set, you're not just like, you know, hitting a drum on a stand.
Right.
But that performance, I remember they all kind of looked like the Blues Brothers.
Oh, you know, like they were hat. Dressed up and
yeah,
everything?
Yeah. Like they had like, you know, like a black jacket, and they all like their instructor like made them all get sunglasses like from whoever had them, their dad or something. And they like right before they were going to perform, they all took them out and put them on together, you know? So like, that's a very like vivid memory that I have.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck, that's like the coolest thing ever. I was like, I don't know, like 14 or something, you know?
Man, that's so dope.
Jenny Clarkson.
And then when did you start your first band, like just like on your own, like, oh, let's start a band.
I always wanted to be in one, but it just never worked out. But then one of my older cousins, who's the brother of our bass player, he had the idea of like, hey, you guys should like we should start a band, because he wanted to be in it too. For whatever reason, the people that like other friends that we got, they kind of just started not showing up and falling off. So we had to like restructure everything. And so my cousin that plays bass originally played guitar. He went to bass because the guy that was playing bass for us, he stopped coming, you know? So we had like completely like turn and in instrumentation. Like I was supposed to play trumpet instead of guitar. And my brother was supposed to play keyboards instead of drums. And then the guy, like I said, you know, like people just started dropping off, and we all like doubled on instruments. So we just went to what we needed.
Yeah.
I just went from there.
Around what time was this?
That was like 2002 or 3.
Oh, okay. So that was after high school, right?
Yeah, it's way after high school.
Oh, so in high school and all that, you never...
No. It was just like the school band, and that was it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. In high school, I wanted to like be in a band or start one, but it just never worked out.
And then so it's always been Eastside Agents?
No, there's been like three different, I guess, rosters or, you know, members that have come and gone.
But has the name always been?
No.
Okay.
Eastside is the newest name, I guess, though it's like 13 years old now or something.
But that's the one that stuck.
Yeah. Well, that's because when Jessica joined our band, that's the name we took when she joined the band. Because we've had two singers before her, but we had different names.
And it was always a ska band.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was the thing that we could... not play, but the type of music that was going to allow a lot of our friends or, you know, to have a lot of people.
Yeah, you need like 12 people for a ska band.
Yeah.
You're like, most, everybody's in the band.
I think the most we've had at one time is like maybe 7.
Oh, okay.
That was when we were all in our 20s and we didn't have anything else to do except just gig every weekend.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, and that was a lot of fun, but, you know, we don't do that obviously now.
And so back then, you guys would do like a lot of house shows? Or?
Yeah, that's all we did. Like house shows. Maybe every once in a while, we would play like a bar or like, you know, the Key Club when it was still the Key Club in Hollywood and stuff like that. You know, so it was that long ago.
Damn. And now with that, we'll move on to your song. Go ahead and tell the people what song you chose and why you chose it.
Hey, guys. My name is Caesar, and I'm a musician, and music is my life. And that's pretty much it. That's really all I do with my free time. But the song that I chose was Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater Revival. And the reason why I chose that song was because I do remember hearing it in the back while I was playing or watching TV or whatever. And I was telling Denise that my dad and my uncle came to the U.S. like in, you know, mid to late 70s. And so that's what I was playing, like that. And I remember the Eagles a lot, you know, but it wasn't until like I got older and like I found the Eagles as an adult or as a, you know, teen, that I'm like, oh, like I remember hearing that, you know. And so I was kind of like a side story to the story. But a long time ago, my brother asked my dad, I'm like, hey, dad. So like on a typical night, you know, what was your like alcohol intake? You know, if you were partying it up, if you were partying it up with, you know, Theo Art and, you know, Theo whoever, you know, and like, so my dad's like a recovering alcoholic. Like he's been like sober for like like at least 40 years.
Oh, damn.
You know, so he's like in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
And so my dad has never been the type of person to like not share stuff like that with us, you know, because, you know, he obviously knows that, you know, we drink and all that stuff, but he's like, oh, you know, just don't overdo it like how he used to and whatnot. And so my dad's answer to my brother's question was like, well, you know, if it was like a long week, you know, me, your aunt, your two uncles would go down to the store, you know, would you pick up an 18 pack each to start, you know, and if, you know, if we did good at, you know, if it was a good week at work, you know, and there was enough for like a bottle, we would pick up a bottle. And then when we'd run out, you know, we'd just, you know, walk down to the liquor store, you know, and see what, you know, what we had left, you know, or what we had enough to buy or whatever. And so my brother, like, you know, when he was telling me this story, he's like, oh, once dad told me that, he's like, oh, that made a lot of sense as to like why we're like heavy drinkers, which we were at the time. You know, it was we're both in our 20s and we were a lot heavier. So our intake was way more, you know. Now, like I could barely like do like maybe two beers in a night, you know, or three tops.
Oh, damn.
You know, and that's like a volume intake.
Yeah.
But before, no, it was complete opposite. You know, it was just like literally like water. Just, you know, give me another. Since, you know, Creedence was playing, the Eagles were playing, you know, stuff like that. I asked my dad, I'm like, so like, you know, were you guys going like to bars a lot or whatever? And they're like, yeah, you know, we would just go like down to the local bar here, like in East LA or whatever. That's what was playing. You know, what that was either what was on the jukebox or what was being played on the radio and stuff like that. And then so like I played like the Eagles or something. And he's like, oh, yeah, I totally remember hearing that, like when it debuted, you know, when like that was like the it thing. And I was like, oh, wow, that's like really cool. And I told him, oh, it's because I remember hearing it as a kid. I just didn't know what it was. Like I said, until like I rediscovered it as an adult. Yeah. And I've always thought that that was like really odd. But it made sense, like I said, because it was just the time that my dad and my uncle were living. But still, like, it just made me think, oh, like, what kind of, like, shit kicker bars were, like, my dad and my uncle going to, you know, like, I mean, I've gotten into, like, a bar fight. I mean, I'm sure they did, too, you know, and I could totally hear, like, Bad Moon Rising or, like, Proud Mary playing in the background. Like, my dad's, like, cracking someone with a bottle or something, you know, or, like, turning over the table, you know, stuff like that. Stuff you see, like, in a Western movie or something.
Yeah.
It's always, like, tripped me out.
I guess, yeah, it is trippy to think about, like, yeah, your parents were young once too.
And exactly.
Getting wild and doing all kinds of crazy shit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so cool that like your dad is cool enough to share that with you guys. Big deal. Like maybe you'll learn something from it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But my mom's the one that has like a big issue with it. Like, like if we'll still ask him now, my mom will tell him, oh, don't tell him those things or whatever. And my dad's all like, he'll tell her, oh, well, like, I mean, like, I don't care that they know, you know, it might help them or whatever. Besides, you already know, you know, and you're still not embarrassed about me. So, you know, like, what's the worst they're going to think, you know, or something. Yeah. You know, like my mom stuck around even after like all the crap, you know, he put her through and all that stuff.
And Creedence was the soundtrack to all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Creedence. And I'm a big, like, you know, Creedence fan now still. I actually, there's a documentary on Netflix that I started, but I haven't finished it. And it's crazy because you would think just from like listening to it that, you know, yeah, they're from like the deep south, you know, or from like the Delta or somewhere, but they're not. They're from like San Jose and San Francisco.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, John Fogerty, that's where he was born, you know, and the rest of the guys too.
They're NorCal boys.
Exactly. You know, I would have never known that if I had not bothered to, you know, read up on them or something. It's like that whole thing with like Johnny Cash, you know, he never went to, he didn't spend like hard time in jail, like how, you know, they make it like how he did, you know, that was just like, I guess like a hook for him, you know? Yeah, exactly. It was a persona, you know, he was like big, bad Johnny Cash.
Yeah. Man in Black.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. I know somebody that we see regularly that I'm like, are those songs based on a true story? I don't know. Anyways, has the same Johnny Cash vibe, but not. Anyways. All right. So with that, why don't we go ahead and check out your song? Do I have to cut that out?
No, it's fine.
Okay, I'll cut it out.
No, it's fine. No one's gonna know.
I don't think he even listens to this podcast.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
All right. And I guess with that, we'll go ahead and check out Bad Moon Rising.
Cool.
All right, there you go. That was Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater. Sorry, say that three times fast. And that was off their third album, Green River, released in 1969. So yeah, just around the time when your dad made it here. And this is something crazy, which I guess the Beatles also did, but this was the third album they released that year.
Yeah, they were just knocking them out.
Yeah, and it's just like, that's insane. And then especially because you think about how many like hits there were in all those albums. You're like, damn, there's like a lot of bangers. And then, yeah, I was actually going to talk about the documentary that you mentioned on Netflix. I think it's, if it's the same one I'm thinking about, which I think it is, it's the one when they performed at Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that was like their first big performance in Europe and all this. And I didn't know this for some time there. Like, it was them against the Beatles, kind of like going like for like biggest band in the world or something.
Yeah, it was some, I can't remember exactly. I think they were, when they were in England, I think the Beatles were here doing Ed Sullivan or something, or I can't remember exactly, or it was, I think maybe they announced that they weren't going to be performing.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. So I think the way they painted in the documentary, which I was like, what the fuck? I guess on April 10th, Paul McCartney was like, hey, like, I'm not going to be performing with the Beatles anymore. He did like a press release or something. And then 4 days later is when they played at the
Royal Albert Hall. Right, they were going to be performing. So that was like that news was overshadowing their big performance.
Right.
Yeah.
So they also put out like an album for the documentary or whatever, which is that performance, like the full performance or whatever. And yeah, like in the liner notes, they just keep mentioning like the Beatles over and over. And I'm like, why do you guys keep mentioning the Beatles? Like, just be your own thing, dude. Like, chill out. Because I've never put them like in the same category. Like, I know they're both like considered rock music, but Creedence is more like southern rock. Like, you really get that southern rock vibe or something.
Yeah, like, and classic rock.
Yeah, classic rock. Yeah. And then the Beatles is just like, no, that's like a totally
like
different
mainstream
thing.
Pop. Like, that's what I would
at least back then. Yeah. But anyways, Denise, what you think about CCR?
I love it. I'm very familiar with this song. It's one of the five songs that the Little Lebowski Urban Achievers play.
Yes.
When we get together, which is me, Rod, C-Flo, and Pauly C.
Pauly C. And Rude Dog. The Rude Dog sometimes.
Sometimes Rudy.
Sometimes April, too.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes.
And sometimes Anaïs.
I know.
It's a rotating roster of band members. You're welcome to join us anytime.
Sweet. I'm down. Because I don't need it to be in another band anyways.
Oh, yeah. Like, so you're not in just East Side Agents. Aren't you in another band, too?
So I'm in East Side. I play in Mafia Rusa. And then I fill in for a couple of bands. I've filled in this year and last year for a few shows for the Voodoo Glow Skulls. Were like a band that I grew up listening to.
Wait, so which band? Cool.
The Voodoo Glow Skulls.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you said, but I was like, wait, what? Oh, that's crazy, dude.
Yeah. So
how did that come about?
So their trombone player is an old friend of mine from another band that we were in. And they just needed someone to fill in because he wasn't going to be able to do a couple of shows. And so I reached out to their guitarist, Eddie. And I heard we had already worked with him because he has a recording studio. So we've gone and used his recording studio. And so I just messaged him, hey, like, I'm interested if no one else hits you up to fill in. And he sent me a list of like 20 songs to learn, like in 2 weeks. Yeah. And I learned like half. And I played the show. And then it just became, keep working on the songs, because if we ever need someone to fill in for whatever reason, like a last minute show or something, you know, I'll hit you up. And so that's where it kind of just like stemmed from.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So
cool.
I played a couple of like really cool shows. Yeah. I mean, just like the first, I mean, I would have been fine with just playing the first one just to fill in, because it's like a band I started listening to like in the eighth grade when I was like 13, you know, so it's wild. And then I'm still doing like I just recently started, with a private instructor to actually learn structured jazz.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
Just because it was a style of music I never really appreciated when I was like in my 20s.
Yeah.
It was just so over my head that I had no interest in it. And now that I'm way older, you know, and like I can appreciate it and I listen to it like way more now, I decided, I'm like, oh, well, I want to learn it properly. I also wanted to improve like on like my tone and like a couple of other things within my trumpet playing to help me with like filling in with Voodoo. So that's why I started doing that. And I think I've been doing the private lessons for like 5 months or something, you know, and I've definitely see like an improvement. So I'm doing that. Like that's why I practice a lot. Mm, I also, cool. 'Cause I feel like I didn't get to do that for so long that I have a lot of time to catch up on really fast. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's where that comes from. And then I started this other like progressive, like kind of like heavy, like hardcore or like rock project with a friend who's friends with my friends from Mexico. But he's living here, obviously. So, you know, like we started this. The project's going to be called Contra Todos Mis Miedos. And yeah, so I'm doing that when he has the time.
Is just the name of the band in Spanish, or it is a Spanish language band?
So far, just the name of the band.
Oh, okay.
But we haven't started writing anything lyrically yet.
Okay.
It's just all kind of like ideas of songs or like riffs that we write and stuff like that. Once we have like, I guess, more of a structured song, we'll see what fits or what doesn't. But we're open to either Spanish or English or just maybe even like instrumental.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be dope. Not to go back to Eastside Agents because you have so much stuff going on, but the band only has like the two songs on Spotify. But is that just because you guys haven't had time to like get together and like record something?
So we have a whole bunch of, we have like six songs that are done and we're still reviewing, we're still listening to. And we've decided to actually go back and add a couple of more instruments to some of the songs. So, yes, we've been like itching to want to release everything already. But kind of just like at the last band meeting we had, we just, you know, talked it over. I'm like, well, Jessica felt like, oh, like this song's missing something. And so I'm like, well, what's it missing? You know, like we need to know, you know, because if it's not ready to be released, we need to know how to improve it or what do we need to add to it. And that's where she thought, it's like, oh, well, we need to add the trombone to it. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, so then we got to push everything back then, you know, we got to push our deadlines back. And I told her that I was up for it. And my brother said he was up for it, you know, just for the sake of us being content with the way the songs sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause once you put it out there, it's like out there and it's there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know? And so that's why we've been, kind of just, waiting to release everything, even though, like I said, you know, we kind of want to do it, but it's been such a labor of love that if it takes another 3 months, then fine, we'll just take the other 3 months just to get it right and to be happy with the release and the way everything sounds and to have like that full sound that we know that we can produce, but we want it also to come out you know, through our music recordings.
As far as like the recording goes, do you guys have like a spot where you guys go that it's like, oh, that's our spot? Or like you guys just tried out different places? Or do you have somebody that you're like, this is our guy? That
no, our engineer, his name's Kevin McShane, and he runs AON Recording. Mm-hmm. And he's based out here in Monterey Park, East LA. You know, he just does it at his home studio. Mm-hmm. And we've known him for, I don't know, like at least 15 years. Okay. So that's why we decided to do this project of the newer songs. They're just on a CPU, you know, waiting for us to figure it out what we're going to do next.
And did he help you guys out with the two songs that are up there?
Yeah. Those are all, engineered by him, recorded nice, and engineered nice, by him.
All right. We'll move on to the last song of the evening now. And that is my song. And I actually also brought a CCR song. I'm just saying CCR because it's easier than saying Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Well, all the cool kids say CCR, you know?
That's right, baby.
I just say Creedence.
Oh, true.
Okay, Creedence is good too. That's very acceptable.
Yes. But anyway, so I came with another CCR song, so let's check it out.
Cuando apenas era un jovencito, mi mamá me decía, cuidadito, si un amor tratas de encontrar. Cuando apenas era un jovencito, mi mamá me decía, mira, hijito, un amor pronto has de encontrar. Le pregunté cómo podría saber lo que era María. Me miró, luego se sonrió. No la busques, dijo, muy bonita, porque al paso del tiempo se le quita. Busca amor, nada más que amor. Thank you.
right. So that was a Spanish cover of Cotton Fields by CCR. Cuando Yo Era Un Jovencito by Los Apson. These guys were famous for doing Spanish covers of rock and roll songs. So they had a bunch. They had like under, what's that? Down by the Boardwalk?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They had a cover of that one.
I feel like that's what I was hearing because it's very similar, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the voice is, I think, where the similarity is.
Yeah.
Like I'm hearing Under the Boardwalk by them. And yeah, it's them.
Yeah.
And the whatever instrument that is. I don't know if you hear it. It's a very specific sound like that.
All right.
Is it that sounds like sound? A like
oh, like the little group group?
Like the washboard or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is that called?
Oh, it's a guido.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a guido.
Oh, okay.
The little wooden thing, right?
Yeah, I want to say I think the guido is the wood one, but I think the metal one might be called something else.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. I think this was a wooden one.
Oh, yeah.
But probably, yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, well, there you go. It's a guido, everybody. That's also a slur, isn't it? A guido, like to call somebody a guido, isn't that so, like an Italian slur?
Yeah.
Yeah, or a slur for Italians. Anyways, but we're talking about the instrument here, everybody. yeah, yeah, yeah. So the band was formed by two brothers who lived near the U.S.-Mexico border, so they had easy access to popular English music. And fun fact, they named the band after their town, which was Agua Prieta, Sonora. So AP and then Son. Yeah, yeah, Los Apson. This part I didn't know, but I guess it kind of makes sense. But they received a lot of criticism because they would perform American music rather than Mexican music. They basically called them Malinchistas, which I was like, oh, I've heard of that. Like when you would call somebody a Malinche or something like that. I never really knew where it came from. And basically, it's a term used primarily in Mexico or Latin America. And it refers to the development of admiration for the culture, ideas, behaviors, and lifestyles of the United States over those of your own, you know, country. And it is derived from the name of Cortés's Nahua advisor, Marina, a.k.a. La Malinche. So basically, when Cortés arrived in Mexico, he got this Native American lady who became his interpreter.
Yeah, like aide or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess they kind of saw her. I was like, oh, you're a fucking sellout. You're
helping
out.
She's like a traitor. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I guess her name was, Marina. But then the way they pronounced it to the Spanish sounded like Malinche. And then so that's why they just... So now it's, you call somebody a Malinche. That's basically what that means. It's like, oh, you're a traitor. You're like a fucking traitor, whitewash.
You know, you turned your back on us, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fun fact, everybody.
Hey.
Yeah. Another fun fact. So these guys, so like, for example, the Cotton Field song and like Down by the Boardwalk, they changed the whole lyrics around where it's not even about the same thing anymore. And I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. Yeah. But and this was like way back in the old LPP days. So if you're new to the LPP, this is a new story to you. So stick around. But yeah, basically Cotton Fields, the Creedence Clearwater version, it's like just him singing about, you know, growing up in the cotton fields when he was a, you know, young boy, yada, yada, yada. The Spanish version kind of has something in common with your song, If You Want to Be Happy, Denise. Because yeah, he's basically saying it's the story of this boy talking to his mom. The mom's basically telling him like, yeah, like looks don't matter because that goes away after a while. So just, you know, look for somebody that you're going to, that you love for who they are, basically. And yeah, that's what the song is about. And same thing with Down by the Boardwalk. So Down by the Boardwalk is like, Down by the Boardwalk. Da, da.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's kind of like about a boardwalk. And you're like, okay, cool. I'm having fun at the boardwalk. But the Spanish version is like about a dude that like breaks up with his girlfriend at a cafe or something like that. Good times. Mexicans just like having more depressing songs, I guess.
And heartache.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyways, what you guys think about that song?
I dug it.
Yeah, it's like I remember hearing that too, you know, very vividly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my mom would always just play this stuff when she would clean on the weekends and stuff. And you're like, I want to go to sleep. But she's like, nah, we're getting up early and we're going to play music and clean the house. And I was like, nice.
It didn't traumatize you?
Like, I guess it was kind of like the meme where like for a while you were kind of like, man, fuck this music.
But now you can appreciate it.
Yeah, but now I'm definitely. Like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I appreciate the music here. Yeah. I had so many different songs that I was like, oh, should I go with this one? Should I go with that one? But then I figured this one kind of melded the... Your song being CCR song and your song being a song about going for personality or cooking skills instead of looking. So yeah, I thought it went well together. But anyways, Denise, you had one more question for Caesar.
I wasn't sure like when you started recording because I knew you had been playing for like a while, right? But I just wasn't sure like when did you first start recording? Like what year do you remember?
This last project or just in general?
No, in general.
Well, I mean, like there's like home recordings or like, you know, we used to have like... like a cassette recorder that we we would just put in the middle of, like, you know, we've practiced at the same garage for like almost 20 years, you know. So we just put it in the middle and hit record, and we would record all our practices. And if we liked something, so we wouldn't forget it, because I mean, we didn't have the recording feature on cell phones, you know, or the voice memo or anything like that. Even the MP3 players we had back then didn't have that. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. And I still have all those cassettes. There's a lot there's a lot of just like us, you know, like talking nonsense and talking about like, oh yeah, you're like, Padilla's going to come over and he's going to mod our PlayStation 2. You know, there's a lot of that stuff, a lot of that going on, you know, or saying, oh, hey, once we're done with practice, we're going to go to King Taco. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff like that. So there's stuff like that. But I think the first time we went and recorded with Kevin had to have been like in 2004, maybe 2005.
Oh, dang.
You know, and that was with our first singer.
Yeah.
And I think we only did 3 songs with her. Yeah. A majority of our recordings have been done with him. It was just on and off, you know. The more I got into playing with other bands, you know, the more recording sessions I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were, actually all of them were really, like, I don't want to say easy, because we obviously, like in every band, you know, we've all had to put in the work. But there was like a lot of times that it was really intimidating. I used to be in this hardcore band, and we went with this guy. His name's Taylor Young, and he actually runs the Pit Recording Studio in the Valley. If you're like a hardcore band and you're up and coming and you want your name to get known on the algorithm, and stuff like that, like, you go to Taylor's studio.
Mm.
Just because he's worked with a lot of, you know, like, bands, his quality of work is amazing. He just engineers, he doesn't master, but he has his own guy that does all the mastering, you know. And the 2 times I've gone with him in 2 different projects, it's always come out the way we wanted. A lot of the bands that we like, and we like their sound, you know, we told them, oh hey, like, we're kind of trying to sound like this, you know, in the bass tones or what have you. And it's like, okay, yeah, I could do that, you know. Super easy and chill to work with. Like, I went in like pretty intimidated, and, you know, he made it like fun. Like, it wasn't like, oh hey, like, you can't play that part, like, you know, what's wrong with you, you know. You know, even when I couldn't play something, you know, he's like, oh well, you know, try it this way, you know. He would work with you. It wasn't just like, oh well, we need to move on because this guy can't play it.
Oh,
you know. Nice. I'm sure, you know, there is a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't experience that, or at least I didn't experience that. And then the other time that it was like intimidating was when I did go to Eddie C's studio from Voodoo, because Mafia Rusa did a couple of songs there. Like I said, growing up listening to his band, you know, and just being a fan of his, you know, that was pretty intimidating. Especially because he's a guitarist, and I was going into track guitar.
Yeah.
You know, but it was super fun and chill, you know. He's just like, oh, just, you know, play your parts, you know, and we'll get through them. And, you know, it was just, it was a very welcoming environment. And the way I always look at it is, like, yeah, it's work. To me, it's work. So I can't, you know, I have to be prepared, you know. And so with having that mindset, but with also him, you know, putting my nerves at ease, you know, that's what made it like a really fun experience.
Yeah, so I mean, that's almost like 20 years of recording experience that you have
about
under your belt. Another thing you mentioned with all the tapes and recording and all that. So you did have a musical background. So you wouldn't do like music notation, like when you would be like, oh, dude, I like that part. And then you'd write out like the music chart for it.
No, I didn't do that. It was, I mean, I know what like key we're in, mm-hmm. and I know the chord structure, but I didn't really... I wasn't really too in charge of writing horn parts at the time, because I was on guitar, but I was definitely, you know, like, yeah, I was writing, or I was helping write song structure, but not like melodies of like the horn parts or anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cause I just thought that was really funny that you did it that way. Cause that's how I have to do it whenever we're just messing around in the garage, which is like nowhere near like the level that you're doing. So yeah, but you know, I forget everything. So when I'm trying to like put drums to like some of Denise's songs or something, like I would have to like record it, because then otherwise I'd like not remember anything. Mm-hmm. I just, yeah. Like, yeah, I have no idea. And so I've tried looking at like drum notation and stuff like that to try to like make it easier, but then I'll go back and I'm like, yeah, I have no idea how to like, I see the, like the drum notation, but I don't remember like that. And I guess I could put the tempo. Anyways, whatever. But yeah, so I just found it interesting that with a music background, you still kind of like prefer doing it, like just recording it and then that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll try to do it. This last one with Kevin, we did everything live. So it was myself, my cousin on bass, my brother playing drums. We were playing along with my brother playing drums while the drums were being tracked, and simultaneously the bass was getting picked up, and then the guitars would be last, like on a different either session, or I would just play along while they wouldn't to what they had already, you know, tracked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Learn something new every day, Denise.
Yeah.
Do you have any shows coming up for the band? Any of your projects? Any music we should look out for?
I don't think we have any. Show-wise, I think I'm done for the year.
Okay.
I know that with Mafia Rusa, we just played our last show this Saturday.
Oh, damn.
Unless if something gets booked for December, I might just be done for the year.
Okay.
And usually that's what we try to do. Well, in Eastside and even in Mafia, is, you know, it's the holidays, you know, a couple of the guys, you know, they have kids and families, you know, so they want to just kind of be home, you know. And I understand too, you know, I don't work retail anymore, but when I did, you know, and when my brother did as well, we had to stop playing like right before Thanksgiving, just because that's when the busy season is, obviously, you know. And maybe we would be able to squeeze in a show here and there, but we just kind of made it a habit to stop performing like maybe the first week of November latest, you know. And then we started like actually doing Thanksgivings together, you know, and Christmas exchanges and stuff like that. So that took over, you know, wanting to play shows. That was way more fun.
Yeah.
It's still way more fun.
Start settling down into family life.
Yeah, sort of.
If people want to follow you or follow any of your bands, any of your projects,
follow the bands. You guys don't have to follow me. Follow at Mafia Rusa HC. And then Eastside Agents is just at Eastside Agents.
And I'll include links to everything in the show notes. Don't forget, sometimes certain podcast apps don't pick up the show notes correctly, so sometimes the hyperlinked text doesn't work. So just go to lppod.com. The show notes are there. Denise, where can people find you?
At D for Music, DeeFur Music.
And if you want to get hold of the show, email is the way to do it. That's feedback@lppod.com, feedback@lppod.com. If you want to check out more podcasts featuring Denise and myself, head on over to talkingishard.com. The only other active podcast is the 110 podcast, which, as I mentioned, features Eastside Agents way back in episode 21. Link in the show notes for that as well. But there's a few older podcasts that are still there. They're evergreen, everybody. So you can listen to them anytime. A special shout out to Cassidy. Don't forget to check out his podcast, MacGuffin Podcast, the premier movie review podcast in all the land. If you have been listening to us back in Taco Tuesday days, we mentioned Cassidy a bunch. And if you listen to the Listening Party podcast way back in the day, you probably heard him on the podcast. And we bring up his podcast all the time. We're working on getting him here, but it would have to be remotely because he's no longer in Southern California. Well, we'll get that figured out. Anyways, Cesar, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Take care. And yeah, that's it.
Bye. Thank you.